The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In this country have insurance, and you lay on top of that now the mandates that we all would like to see in a perfect world, there are consequences to that. We just can't afford this. I mean, that's the ultimate problem here is in a perfect world, everyone would have everything they want. This government can't afford it. Businesses can't afford it. That's why we continue to say, go step by step, try and address the cost, and we could ultimately get there. But we're asking that you set aside this mandated form of health care regulation, and let's go back to things we can agree on without this trillion-dollar attempt here. That's all.
I think the cost issue is legitimate, and whether we can afford it or not, we'll be discussing that. The argument that Republicans are making really isn't that this is a government takeover of health care, but rather that we're insuring we're regulating the insurance market too much. And that's a legitimate philosophical disagreement. We'll hopefully be able to explore it a little more in the afternoon.
We're running over because we went long on the opening statements, and you're right, there was an imbalance on the opening statements because I'm the president, and so I made. I didn't count my time in terms of dividing it evenly.
Obama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days.
Obama
like
said there'd be
Mama
days
said,
like this.
Obama said
there'd be days like this.
This
Obama said.
I went walking the other day, and everything was going.
You think I'm going to talk about health care for 2 hours or 3 hours? You're out of your mind. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The British have it just right. The Times Online reports, try to stay awake. The president has a health care bill to pass. And they say that Obama, looking incongruously glamorous in a crisp white shirt and blue tie, like Jamie Foxx chairing a convention of Pittsburgh cement contractors, gave an Oscar-worthy performance as the concerned listener. Warning, they say, watching American pals argue about health care can be seriously damaging to your health. Symptoms may include migraines, extreme fatigue, and sudden violent urges. In the event of exposure to competing statistics regarding donut holes, HMO deductibles, reconciliation devices, or such like, seek immediate medical help. So there it is. And so therefore, I didn't watch it today, except here and there. But I had people watching it, and here's a little story for you. There was no mention of cutting out health care for illegal aliens. There was only, in passing, a mention of cutting out the greedy, disgusting tort lawyers. It's been estimated that if tort lawyers, the vermin who were the ambulance chasers, in other words, your uncle Mo from Brooklyn, the tort lawyer that the family hates, is the reason that the system is broken. In other words, we all know that the lawyers broke virtually everything in America. Now, the tort lawyers are a special breed of evil. And if they were reined in, the estimates are there'd be savings of between $500 billion or more a year just on capping medical lawsuits, medical malpractice lawsuits. You say, well, it can't happen. It's unfair. A lie. The reason it hasn't been discussed is because both parties are packed with trial lawyers. Lindsey Graham, Republican, trial lawyer. I can name almost all of those men who are trial lawyers, which is why none of them raised the issue of capping the lawsuits. California, we've had medical liability lawsuits capped at $250,000, no matter what damage a doctor may do since the 70s. And believe me, the state is still functioning with regard to whatever. It's still functioning. If you don't like it, then move to Kansas where they can ply their trade. So there was no discussion of cutting off medical care for illegal aliens. That's probably $500 billion, $500 billion a year. And capping lawsuits, medical lawsuits. That's another. So there's $1 trillion a year right there. Neither party touched it. You understand? Okay, now I can go. I've done my job. 1-800-449-8255. No discussion of illegal immigration, the missing component of the healthcare summit. That's one of the biggest reasons that the system is broken. You know it, and I know it. So I can have nurses call doctors, but what's that going to do? It's not educational. It's not entertaining. It's just heartbreaking. You understand? I dreaded doing this show today. I would almost rather talk about disease than talk about this. We have an idiot for a president. Can any business person listening to this show run a meeting like this? Every time a substantive issue was raised by a Republican, some left-wing hack got up and started putting out left-wing drivel that had nothing to do with the question. Only an idiot blinded by bias could believe that the demon cats would like to help the average person. It's insane. But you know what Harry, Nancy, and Barry are going to do. Harry, Nancy, and Barry have already decided to ram through Obamacare. No matter how they do it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they do it. It doesn't matter how low his ratings go because there's so much money at stake. Unbelievable. So there it is, an exercise in futility. Complete with B.O.'s acting talents. B.O. never intended to do anything other than set up his socialist health care program through Congress. That's all. The British system in America is a nightmare. Patients are left in the halls for weeks. They're dirty. There are reports coming out of England right now that people don't get fresh drinking water in the hospital. Some of them are having to drink water out of flower pots. But there it is. 1-800-449-8255. There he was, arrogant as ever, full of himself as ever, a jerk like forever. The whole thing was made to make him look good. It was all theater. It was called a teach-in right out of the Frankfurt School of Communism, of Socialism. It was Obama's healthcare teach-in, a 60s college teach-in. I've been telling you all this week about Obama's Marxist roots. I told you how Obama was inspired by the same people who inspired the German leftist terrorists, the Baader-Meinhof gang. I told you about the Frankfurt School, who taught that instead of an outright violent revolution, socialists must infiltrate the government at all levels in order to bring it down from within. And today Obama took another page right out of the Marxist playbook. Why? Hosted a healthcare summit, which the pubs attended as well. All day it went on. But you see, back in the 60s, this sort of public extended forum on a complicated political issue was called something else. It was called a teach-in. And like Obama's healthcare summit, the teach-ins of the 60s were teach-ins that were really meant to be participatory and oriented towards direct action in the streets. And just like Obama's healthcare summit, the 60s teach-ins were controlled by leftists and had a predetermined outcome. The first major teach-in was organized by Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, a well-known radical, violent socialist group, and they said they opposed the Vietnam War. The largest such teach-in was held at UC Berkeley in 1965 and was attended by veteran socialist leader Norman Thomas, Benjamin Spock, the man who twisted a generation of children and parents, and Jack Barnes, the national chair of the Young Socialist Alliance. So, you know, nothing's really changed. It's the same plot, different actors. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Are talking about, well, the boring healthcare debate in Washington because we understand that it's all, you know, a sham. We know that we can't afford this. We know the government knows they can't afford it. We know the government is doing this to pay back the special interests such as La Raza and to massage the illegal aliens so they'll be perennial Democrat voters, and we'll have a health care system equal to the third world nations that they have flooded in from, such as Mexico. And so if you want a health care system equal to Mexico, then go along with Obamacare. So the one thing is the illegal aliens have to be stopped from using the health care system. Can't afford it. Let's put aside all, you know, any other issue. We can't afford to pay for it. Then we have to have tort reform, which is we cap medical malpractice lawsuits. You say it can't be done. Look, it was done in California in the 70s, where medical malpractice claims, as far as I know, cannot exceed $250,000. Why is that a bad idea? I mean, we're trying to cut costs, aren't we? So what's the problem here? Ken in Florida, you disagree with me on tort reform. Tell us why.
Well, basically, mine doesn't involve medical malpractice, but I've had a run in the last 2 years with the insurance companies and learned a little bit about them. We were coming home from vacation in Georgia, or in North Carolina. A lady backed up 25 yards without looking, crushing me and my dog between my car and her car. My leg was broken in three places. My knee was broken.
All right, so please, I'm sorry it all happened, but what was the end line here?
The end line is my dog was killed. I'm alive because my dog was killed. And what I'm mad about is two things. One, animals are property. They have no rights whatsoever. And two, when you're involved in one of these, you're going to protect the insurance companies is who you're going to protect. And if you ever
Wait. You're not making sense. Who's going to protect insurance companies?
Well, that's basically if you say that people who are wronged in medical malpractice cases can't sue more than $250,000, who you're ultimately protecting is the insurance companies.
You have that all wrong. Who you're protecting are the doctors and the hospitals, many doctors were driven out of practice because of premiums they can't afford. I mean, that's an acknowledged reality. Everyone knows that.
I'm a veterinarian, okay? I'm involved in medicine.
But you're not answering it. Let's talk about people who do obstetrics. It's a practice that is almost impossible to practice today because the insurance premiums are so high, because even congenital birth defects are now being declared to be the fault of the doctor or the hospital, thanks to John Edwards and his ilk.
There have been some abuses, but there are certainly abuses the other way where people are injured by doctors and get very little.
Well, nobody is saying that doctors are saintly or not human. Of course there are injuries from doctors. You don't have to tell me that. I mean, I know that from my own family's history. But I am saying that the system is bankrupt, so we have to cut somewhere. Why not cut it out of the greediest element in the entire system, which is the trial lawyers rather than the insurance companies?
Because then the patient has no protection. The bottom line is then the patient...
You mean the people in California, I live here, we have no protection, we're protected. We have a $250,000 maximum on any medical malpractice claim.
Now, is that just... does that include lost wages and everything, or is that just punitive damages?
I could not answer that. I know that medical malpractice claims are limited to $250,000 in this state. I can't answer the specifics, but we actually have had tort reform here because they were killing the doctors. Now, you had a bad experience with insurance companies. I've had many in my life. I don't like insurance companies. Let's be very clear. I don't work for them. I have no advertisers who are insurance companies. I think that they're like any other business. They're out for a profit, the most profit they can make, just like every other business. And I certainly think that they need to be controlled to a certain extent. But let's not get carried away and think that a government equivalent of an insurance company is going to treat you any better. Have you recently dealt with a bureaucrat on anything from a local zoning problem to something bigger? I have been dealing, for example, where I live with some local bureaucrats. I built a 41-square-foot sound wall next to my house to block out the sound of noise coming into my house. They're running me through hoops like you can't believe. You've never met mandarins. You don't know what evil is until you've dealt with small bureaucrats. And now try to figure out what you would do with a bureaucrat who tells you what you can do medically, what doctor you have to go to medically. Or let's say the bureaucrats now run the insurance industry. You don't really believe that a government agent is going to treat you any better than a private industry agent, are you?
I think that there's a possibility. Let me tell you from my experience, 20-some years ago, my wife had a malignant tumor in her neck.
You just said you think a government bureaucrat would treat you better than a private business? Why would you say that?
Why would I say what? because I'm telling you that in my own personal experience, when my wife was diagnosed with malignant cancer in her neck, the insurance company tried to say it was a pre-existing illness. They tried to drop her insurance. When my son was diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency, they tried not to pay for that. They tripled my rates because I had a melanoma on my nose.
But what would happen if you went to a government insurance agency, Obama would like, run by Nancy Pelosi's appointees? Do you think they would be kinder and gentler to you?
Well, I'm hoping that what they won't have is that they won't have pre-existing illnesses, which is one thing Obama says he wants to do away with.
Well, let's talk about pre-existing conditions. That's a very important subject. Do you actually think that everybody in this country can afford to get any amount of care at any time for any illness at any cost?
I think that would be very expensive if you want to know the truth. But I don't think health care is something that should be rationed or available only to the wealthy.
You're speaking out of both sides of your mind. You know that we can't afford it. You also know that illegals are coming over the border and getting bypass surgery for free. You know that.
Okay, can I ask you where half of our budget goes?
Well, no, I'll ask you something. Let's start with this. You're against tort reform. We got that. I'm for it. We disagree on that. What about denying health care to illegal aliens? Which side are you on that one?
I would probably say that they should not be entitled to health care.
All right, let's split the difference. That's 50-50. Glad you called. 1-800-449-8255. By the way, this information just came out to the Savage Nation today that won't make it to your newspaper. Obama has introduced a new computerized program for Democrat operatives to call talk radio programs such as Michael Savage and argue with me and with you about these issues. They're giving them talking points. If you don't think this is the equivalent of Chavez in South America, the early stages of the government taking over the media by hiring for free now Democrat operatives to call talk shows with talking points, I'd like to know what is government interference in free speech. But we're ready for you. So let's say you're an Obama worker or you're a left-wing fanatic and you got the talking points. Give me a call, will you please?
Savage.
Began your remarks, Mr. President, by saying there was a glimmer of bipartisanship in the Senate with the passage of the jobs bill. I want you to know there was a blaze of bipartisanship in the House yesterday with, 406-19. Repealing of the exemption that insurance companies have.
Nancy Lugosi is back. Insurance. It's so hard focused on this insurance thing because what you don't understand is if they steal the insurance industry from the insurance companies, who do you think is going to get the business? The same people who are getting the business to build the windmills, to build the solar powered units. The same exact con men who have lined up for the trillions of dollars in green jobs without any guarantee that they'll produce enough energy to warrant the investment are going to line up to become the new insurers, the so-called green insurers, for the new programs. They'll be all contributors to the Democrats. I can guarantee you, as bad as the system is, and it is flawed, no question about it, name a system that is not flawed. As bad as this medical system may be for some, by what I have read, it will be less care, it will be longer lines, it will be more bureaucracy, and it will be higher costs than you have now. That's my opinion. And that is because there's been little discussion, zero discussion about reining in the lawyers with the medical malpractice claims and reining in the illegal aliens, blocking them from any medical care whatsoever because we're not required to give non-citizens medical care. So unless you're hearing that, you know that you're getting lied to. And I said to you a couple of days now, when both parties agree, that means that someone's getting screwed and that's you. And today they all agreed that health care should be provided to illegal aliens because they didn't mention it. So by de facto of it, not discussing it, I mean, they want to give medical care to illegals. So they both agree that illegal aliens should get medical care because they want the Hispanic vote. Number one. Number two, they all agree that lawyers are not greedy and guys like John Edwards are actually saints, even though they were like a scythe through the South in, destroying hospitals and doctors with false medical claims. You know what John Edwards did, how he made his fortune, in my opinion? Look, I did this all through the campaign. I'm the only one who knew what he did because I read it. John Edwards was like Margo. Margo was a fake preacher. There was a movie about him in the 60s. Pardon my reference. In other words, like a tent preacher. And John Edwards made his fortune by claiming that tragic birth defect cases were caused by the doctor or the hospital. And he convinced toothless moonshine juries throughout the South that these poor children who were born with congenital diseases were actually damaged by the doctor or the hospital. He handpicked the juries through so-called jury consultants. They were, half of them were on moonshine without teeth. They were like Deliverance. And they closed hospitals. They put doctors out of business. So unless you're hearing tort reform and illegal aliens block, you know, but we're going to move on in a minute. I'm going to take some calls. We know this is a fraud. We know that they're going to ram it through. We know that this is a dictatorship in the making. We understand that there's no two-party system. We understand that only 25% want this to happen. We understand that on Monday they're going to start to ram it through. We understand that we're living in a minor dictatorship right now. Waco, Texas, Bill, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind? Welcome to the program.
About that Med-Mal that you were talking with, that other lion pig, as you said, he really got off the end of the handle. But here's the situation. I've lived in California and in Texas and have practiced in both states. California, in the 1970s, passed MICRA, Medical Insurance Compensation Reform Act, or something like that.
It is 1977.
Yeah, exactly, and it limited the non-economic damages only because that's what was killing the state. They'd have a bus run off the side of the road, got a tire flat, and they'd have a tragedy, but people were getting $10, $20, and $30 million judgments that could not be paid. It's just like our health system today. Let's give it away to everybody. The problem is that the trial attorneys were at the basis of it. Now, what happened was, if you get sued now, if you're injured, let's say if you're injured in California or in Texas, because Texas adopted the same model in 2003, it has been tremendous for Texas because we have retained doctors in this state instead of losing them faster than we could train them. But if you're injured, you get full compensation for medical type injuries. You get full rehabilitation. You get full lost wage payment. You get full future lost wage payment. And the only thing that's limited is the fact that they can't hammer you with these astronomical pain and suffering damages.
Okay. So it's the pain and suffering in the tort reform. Good. Thank you for focusing us on that. So you agree we need to rein in the greedy trial lawyers?
Well, there's no question. The insurance companies are not heroes, and I'll be the first to say that. But I'll tell you what, then. You've got to have insurance companies unless you want a single-payer health system through the government, and that will be absolute unmitigated disaster. So you've got to have insurance companies. You've got to have them to insure your car. I mean, for heaven's sake. It's in Texas in 2000.
Right. How could we live without the lizard? In other words, the little gecko. What would life be like if we had a government insurance agency and the little lizard ads were no longer on TV?
We do. Do you?
Anyway. Thanks, doctor. I appreciate the call. Yeah, eliminate private enterprise, according to Joseph Stalin, and everything will run smoother and more efficiently. He tried it with agricultural reform. I told you what he did. You know, you don't understand. Many of you didn't get it in school. You were busy learning how to put a condom on a cucumber and, you know, how to dance naked in the fountain. But you didn't learn the basics about world history. I told you what Joseph Stalin did in Russia. There were individual family-owned farms in Russia. They were providing enough food for themselves and for the cities. Russia was sufficient in food manufacturing. Then Joseph Stalin, communist, said that we can do it cheaper, we can do it better, rein in those evil individual farm owners. They were all called kulaks. They were counter-revolutionaries. Joseph Stalin seized the farms from the farmers, the way Obama wants to seize the insurance industry from the insurers. And instead of doing it more efficiently, the farms were no longer as productive. Mass starvation ensued in Russia, and 30 million Russians died as a result of collectivization. And by the way, many of these farmers, these capitalist farmers, the small farmers, were put in re-education camps and work camps and died there. They were called counter-revolutionaries or greedy capitalists. So if you go back to what this is all about. You're going to find out it's all about collectivization or socialism. I mean, you know, you can talk around it all you want. This is a power grab by the government to make government bigger. What more do you need to know? San Francisco, Michael on 860 on the dial. Michael, what's on your mind?
Michael, you said you're speaking out of both sides of your mind. That is a sentence that only the great Michael Savage could enunciate.
Well, what I really wanted to say to that caller was you're speaking out of both sides of your hind, but it was a family show, so I couldn't do it.
Michael, I'm familiar with a book called The Road to Serfdom. I'm sure you know it.
Yes.
If I had to think of a document that would represent your show, the closest thing I could find, where is Michael Savage coming from? I think it's that book. Am I out of town?
No, you're not out of town. I'm an anti-communist. I've been an anti-communist all of my life because I see the devastation it has wrought around the world. I'm an anti-socialist because I know socialism is run by bureaucrats. I hate bureaucrats. Every interchange with a bureaucrat makes me want to smash my head through a plate glass window. Most bureaucrats are evil, mean, small-minded Lilliputians, whether it's a small zoning permit or something large. A bureaucrat is a bad person. They're not good people. I want the government out of my life. I want individual freedom, and I want less government, not more government. So therefore, this is all wrong from Obama. He is a socialist slash Marxist slash Leninist, depending upon the issue, depending upon the particular issue. He's either a socialist, a Marxist, or a Leninist. He's absolutely against capitalism. He's against business. He's against individual freedom. There's nothing about this man that is American.
Yes! Ah, that felt really good. That was nice.
How does that feel? Try that one on for size. Does that fit?
I'm telling you, that's how you run with it. Right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Michael, you got it. That's why the show is so good. Because I know what what do you want me to do? I know it in my bones. I know what this gang is all about. I know what they're about. Oh, and but John McCain, by the way, I called him John McShame for a reason. I told you he threw the election. I told you he was a fall guy. I told you the Republicans put him up to lose. I told you that every time he was ahead in the polls, he did something to set himself back. Now McCain wants the feds to regulate vitamin supplements. So in other words, he's owned by the pharmaceutical manufacturers. Is anyone listening to this show who's a liberal who agrees with me that vitamin supplements should not be regulated by the federal government? This will set us back 40 years. You mean every time you go to buy vitamin C for yourself, you're going to have to go get a prescription? John McCain wants you to get a prescription. This means every time you go buy a multivitamin on the internet, I've been using vitamins, by the way, for 35 years. I don't need a doctor to tell me what to take. I know more about it than they do. I wrote the books on the subject. Why should I have to go get a prescription for a vitamin? I shouldn't. But McCain thinks I should. Why? Because he was smeared by the pharmaceutical industry, which has more money than the vitamin industry. So this is an example. So don't think I'm sitting here as a Republican front man, because I am not. Please don't call me Rush and don't call me Hannity. My name is Michael Savage. Get it right. I'm an independent. I've been an independent all along. I don't work for the RNC. I'm not speaking at the RNC. I haven't been invited by the RNC. I will not vote for the RNC. So don't confuse me with the wall banger and the golfer, please, if you don't mind. God bless him. They're right on some issues. But on the big issue, you got to understand, if you watch what those two are doing, they're now lining up behind the Republican Party, as did Sarah Palin. And I told you from a long shot, way off, who she was, where she was coming from, and she's now marginalized. She's finished. She can't win anymore. She came out to a Tea Party thing, and she said, you Tea Partiers, this is not a party, it's a movement. You got to decide whether you're a D or an R. So there it was again. Sarah Palin, Republican. Don't get confused by these people. And George Washington told us that the party system will eventually destroy America. Why did he say that? Because political parties are fundamentally businesses. I don't think you understand that. Political parties are businesses. They're run like businesses. And therefore, they have to produce a profit for their enterprise. And therefore, they're not running in the interest of the American people. In other words, their interest and the interest of the American taxpayer may or may not be the same. And I'd like to have anyone listening to this show tell me that the Democrats' interests are in sync with the interests of the American taxpayer. I don't see it. I mean, let's put aside all of the fun we're having. I don't see it. This is not the kind of show I really like to do. I don't like to do these shows. I don't like economics. I don't like to argue policy like this because I think it's very boring. We understand what this is. It was a show trial. along the lines of the ex-Soviet Union where they had show trials where you knew the outcome in advance. So what do you want to talk about? Any of this is good. Whatever you want to talk about is fine by me. I'm telling you two things that you should take home tonight. I know on the East Coast there's a blizzard that hit New York, a big storm. We cannot blame Obama for that, but we're trying to find evidence that he caused it. Sometime today we'll try to find the evidence that he caused it. We certainly know there's no such thing as global warming. I told you yesterday that it was written by socialists in the Frankfurt School that if you get children early enough in the first grade and you start teaching them through propagandist techniques that snow is black, by the third grade they will say snow is black. Even if you held it up and said here is white, the snow is white, they would say you're crazy, snow is black. Right now you have an entire generation of young school children who have such beliefs that man is evil, capitalism is evil, the family is no good, mom and dad are no good, the church is oppressive, and that snow is black. And of course that there's global warming in the midst of a blizzard. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about Obama's ultimatum. We're talking about the Stalinist show trial today in Washington where Obama tries to tell us it's a bipartisan discussion when it isn't. And we just found something that I don't think anyone else has yet in the media. It's going to go up on michaelsavage.com. Obama's machine is flooding talk radio with zombie callers, and they've given them calling tips. Here they are. They're telling them to call radio shows like the Michael Savage Show, and here are the calling tips. Be polite, respectful, and clear. Remember, you represent Organizing for America. Radio stations connect you differently. While you're waiting, you may hear the radio host say something like, hello, we have your name on the line with us. I don't know what show. That sounds like they don't even know what they're talking about. Some hosts may challenge your views. Stay calm and firm. Now listen to this. Sharing a personal story about how health reform affects you and your family is a great way to show the importance and urgency of health reform. Now remember the caller earlier in the hour when he told us that his wife had cancer, his son had a serious illness, his dog was killed, he had another illness, and he's a veterinarian. I can guarantee you he was planted by the DNC. I can guarantee it. If you can't get through, they say, don't worry. Call us back and say, give me another show to find another. Discussion points. This is from the Obama administration. And it says, your personal story will make the most compelling message. Say to the listeners on the shows that you get through, for most Americans, their health care plan covers too little and costs too much. The plan the president laid out includes the largest health care tax cut for middle-class families in history and makes coverage more affordable for tens of millions of families and small business owners. It's all a lie. This is government propaganda. And then they go on and say, tell the audience this plan will give millions of Americans new choices in health insurance by making coverage more affordable. Then say reform couldn't be more urgent. It's unbelievable to me that we're living through let me stop because I know what we're living through. You know, if I make the statement that's real, you'll think it's extremist because most of you have been boiled like chickens in a pot. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. Can we move it on to something else? We know that Obama is a Marxist, socialist, Leninist. We understand that. Any European would laugh at you if you said otherwise, because they are Marxist, socialist, and Leninist, most Europeans. So they say, what's wrong with that? They believe in communism. Most of the old farts in Europe were at the barricades in Paris in 1968, and they're proud of being communists. They love the Biedermannhof gang. In other words, they're hypocrites. And consequently, they would laugh at you if you said he's a socialist. How come the right wing's calling Obama socialist? Is it me? What is wrong with that? Because we are all socialists. No? What's wrong with Americans that they're so naive? They don't even understand what a socialist is. If it walks like a socialist, if it legislates like a socialist, if it tries to legislate like a socialist, it is a socialist. No? But, okay, unless you've lived in the ex-Soviet Union or the Eastern Bloc, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. That's the problem with Americans. We've lived in a dream world, and we don't understand the dream has come to an end with the arrival on the scene of the imposter, the great pretender. New York City, WOR. Mark, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Absolute pleasure. The reason I'm calling is I'm an attorney. I head up an effort in New York to add sanity to the tort system, the medical malpractice system in New York. We have the worst system in the country. Our doctors are paying among the highest rates, and they get subsidies from the government. Rather than fixing the rules like they did in California or Texas, we give them 100.
So you're one of the good lawyers, like my friend Larry, who actually tries to get lawyers to act decently. Amazing that there are more than one of them.
Absolutely. The saddest part is that 8 to 9% of all our medical dollars are just being flushed down the toilet completely. We're spending $211 billion as a country on defensive medicine. Defensive medicine doesn't improve health outcomes one iota. And as a matter of fact,
Mark, tell the audience what defensive medicine means.
Doctor is covering his ass. That's what it means. He's covering.
In other words, if you go to a doctor, let's say, with a thing that he knows, let's say, is a minor cold, he has to give you a higher degree of tests to make sure you don't come back and sue him for something, in other words.
Absolutely. Not only that, when he's doing that, in many instances, he's killing you because we have Mercer infections that are a function.
I know. It's terrible. You know, last year I had was put into the MRI machine twice in an emergency room when I really didn't need it. But I had some things where you go, you know, once you're in an emergency room, you go along with the doctor because you're freaked out. You're on medication. You don't know what they're doing. I will never take another x-ray as long as I live. I've had more than my lifetime dosage of it. The doctor did it not because I really needed it, but because he was afraid that I'd sue him, which I never would do.
Absolutely. There are 29,000 people killed from excess radiation every year in our country. Many of them due to, in fact, defensive medicine. It's insane. We're spending.
Mark, so I want to be clear. You are a lawyer who agrees that we need some tort reform, and you're working toward that end. Mark, can I send you a present banned in San Francisco from Michael Savage?
Absolutely. It's called New Yorkers for Lawsuit Reform is the organization. If you go,
God bless you. So I know two honest lawyers in the world.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
At a juncture in our politics where reasonable efforts to update our regulations or make basic investments in our future are too often greeted with cries of government takeover or even socialism. And not only does that kind of rhetoric deny our history, but it prevents us from asking hard questions about the right balance between the private and public sectors. Contrary to the claims of some of my critics and some of the editorial pages, I am an ardent believer in the free market.
So was Joseph Stalin. As long as he controlled that aspect of the free market, he was in favor of it. Well, no one's interested in this for one reason, because it's not fundamentally of any interest. This is not about health care, by the way. What you're listening to, there was not about one discussion today about science or health. Did you hear one doctor talk today? No. There are only two doctors in Congress, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma and Rep. Charles Bustani of Louisiana. But the fact of the matter is, this was not a discussion of health or health care. It was about a discussion about health insurance and stealing it from the private insurers and giving it to Nancy Pelosi's friends or Barack Obama's friends or supporters. What do you think it's all about? So if you're going to talk about health care reform, that's one thing. But are you really talking about health care reform? Is there something wrong with the health care in America? Is anyone listening to the show think that doctors in America are not perhaps amongst, let's say, collectively the best in the world? We know that they are. That's why the Canadian Prime Minister, Premier of Newfoundland, came here for heart surgery with something to do with his valve last week. He went to Florida because he couldn't get it in the Canadian, the wonderful Canadian system. We also learned that today that Obama has launched a talk radio strategy, having callers, zombie callers, call into shows with talking points. What you didn't hear so far is that with the whole world watching the health summit, the Democrats today snuck in a bill to punish the CIA. The House is about to debate the 2010 Intelligence Authorization Act, and with all of us looking at health care, Democrats have slipped into the bill a new provision that would establish criminal punishments for CIA agents and other intelligence officials who engage in, quote, cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment during interrogations. Now, if they're not playing for the other side, I'd like to know who is. If the Democrat lawyers who wrote this today are not working for Al-Qaeda, I'd like to know how Al-Qaeda could do any better than this. The Democrat edition is called the Cruel, Inhuman, and Degrading Interrogations Prohibition Act of 2010. It was inserted into the larger intelligence bill without being considered by the House Intelligence Committee. It covers any officer or employee of the intelligence community who during an interrogation engages in the beatings, the infliction of pain, forced sexual acts, inducing hypothermia, conducting mock executions, or depriving the detainee of necessary food, water, sleep, and medical care. To me, those are the only methods to get these people to crack, by the way. You're certainly not going to get them to crack by giving them three halal meals a day and six prayer sessions and a new fresh prayer rug. Are you people crazy? The bill gives Congress flexibility in defining just what those terms mean, so anybody in the CIA will now be intimidated to the point where they won't do their job. And it would provide for punishments of up to 20 years in prison and life behind bars if a detainee dies as a result of the interrogation. This was done without committee review, without any feedback or input from the CIA. It showed up in the middle of the night. It targets those who are keeping us safe. It doesn't respond to what happened at Fort Hood or Detroit. Instead, this Authorization Act targets the CIA for new criminal punishments. It came out today. It was snuck in by your friends, the Democrats, in order to punish the CIA from doing their job. The world's watching the health summit. Dems sneak in bill to punish CIA. Thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. We try to give you information you can't get anywhere else. Now, let's go back to the health thing for a minute. I've left a bunch of lines open for the following kinds of callers. If you are a former member of the Soviet Union, a former prisoner of the Soviet Union, meaning a citizen prisoner, or if you're a former citizen prisoner of the Eastern Bloc, or if you're a former citizen prisoner of Cuba, or a former citizen prisoner of Chavez, and you've come to America to get away from the prison of socialism, I'd like you to be very focused when you call the Savage Nation, and I want you to tell millions of Americans who may be listening what health care was like in your country. I want them to hear it loud and clear. What was it like to get to see a doctor? When you finally saw the doctor, what kind of care did you get? What kind of prescriptions did you get? What kind of follow-up care did you get? If you were hospitalized in any of these nations, what kind of hospital care was there? What did the hospitals look like? What did the doctors look like? What did the nurses look like? How were you treated in the hospitals? That's what I want to hear on the Savage Nation. So, in other words, if Obama's flooding talk radio with zombie callers with set points, we are going to now take their lies and shine them back right into their eyes. We're going to use the old mirror trick from the Boy Scouts. We're going to take our little Boy Scout mirrors and shine the propaganda right back into Obama's head so he can see that we're not so stupid. We know this is socialized medicine. We know it's going to provide lower care, higher cost. We know that onerous officials are going to be in charge of our healthcare decisions. We know that old people are going to die because there's going to be a lack of healthcare. We know there's going to be less care and higher costs, and we're going to talk about it until you finally get it. Arizona, Christopher, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you very much, and it's my pleasure to talk to you. And I came to this country in 1960s because it was a very anti-Semitic movement in Poland. So we had to run away from it.
But let's be focused only on the healthcare in Poland when you were there. What was it like?
Okay, what was it like that if you wanted to have any kind of healthcare, you had to go to doctor, and it was private visit, and you had to give him money that was then in circulation. It was outside of the system.
So in other words, you if you wanted medical care, you could buy it outside the system from doctors who took cash.
Absolutely. And
yeah, but by my understanding of Obama's socialized medical plan is that private doctors will not be permitted to practice in America. They will have to be part of a health care plan that the government controls. Is there anyone listening to this show who can prove me wrong? Thank you for your call. In other words, you know, when I first heard about this a couple of years ago, I said, now, wait a minute. I once had a friend when I was a grad student in England, a very wealthy man. He actually supported my research. And when he needed medical care, he told me that there was government medical care in England. But he went to these private doctors near him, near the, where do you live? In some very nice neighborhood near a park. I don't remember, St. James's Park. And he went to private doctors and he paid them cash. And I said, well, all right, look, if you're a rich guy, there's nothing wrong with a system that takes care of the poor on a mediocre to poor level for everybody. And if you have money, you can afford a private doctor, private hospital, and can pay for it. Good luck to you. So what? Let it be that way. But I believe that there is no chance for that happening in this system. I'd like to know if I am wrong on that. Okay? I'm willing to learn. Okay? Spokane, Washington. Kelly, welcome to the program. You're up on the Savage Nation.
I've lived on both ends of the healthcare spectrum. I have healthcare now, but I didn't when I was younger, when I had both of my kids. And I know that when we were on the poor end, we had available healthcare. It wasn't the greatest on earth, but at least it was something.
Right.
But I also know that now from my current healthcare, that I have no idea what healthcare even was until I got real healthcare. But I don't think our healthcare should be open to everybody who just happens to cross the border. Because
right.
I had to work.
How can we afford to give 30 million illegal aliens a Cadillac health treatment when they're not paying for it? How is it possible?
I work for a living. That's how I know I have.
Well, that's right. And Obama works for La Raza and other special interest groups who are sitting inside the White House dictating to him, no one shall mention illegal aliens. But I blame the Republicans because they didn't bring it up today either. Thank you for the call. When I was young and poor, I had two young children. I was going to graduate school. I was working jobs. I was doing everything I could to support myself. I had no inheritance. And we needed health care coverage. And I only needed it because of the fear of a catastrophic illness, a car wreck, a cancer, God forbid. So I signed up with the Kaiser healthcare system. It was a mediocre system. It was not great. It was not bad. It was sort of like, pardon me, the Lipton tea of tea, if you know what I mean. Consistent mediocrity. Most Kaiser doctors are nice enough, but they're not, you know, particularly special in any way. They're bureaucrats. It got worse as the years went on. People I know who went to work for Kaiser, some of them were decent people, the doctors, they had 6 minutes or so with each patient. They were not allowed to spend any more time than 6 minutes or so or 7 minutes with a patient. And the end for me was when one of my little children went in to see a pediatrician, and the pediatrician, the poor little child was stripped naked in the room by the nurse, shivering, sitting on a table. And then the doctor comes in, the quack comes in, the chief quack comes in, the so-called pediatrician, does not look at the child. The quack turns to the wall. The quack picks up the chart. The quack looks at the wall. The quack reads the chart without looking at the child or touching the child and says, let's see now, he says to the chart. You have X, you have this, and you have that. And the quack then says, you have this, you have that. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. And the quack hardly looked at the child in the 6 minutes. The quack wrote a prescription and exited the room. That was, I left Kaiser after that. I've had private health insurance ever since. Now, if you think that the health care you're going to get under Obama from a government official is going to be superior to what I had under Kaiser, I disagree with you. You're wrong. It's going to get worse than that. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let me again go back to something that just broke, the House Intelligence Authorization Act, which will grant money to the intelligence community, the CIA. The Democrats have slipped into the bill a new provision that would establish 20 years in jail for any CIA agent or any other intelligence official who engaged in cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment during interrogations. Once again, the Islamic terrorists have front groups working for them in the Democrat Party. And once again, you have to understand that they're putting us in danger. Once again, you have to understand that Barack O., Pelosi, Reid, and Holder would like to eliminate the CIA altogether. Once again, you have to understand that these Marxist-Leninists think only in terms of Marxist-Leninist dialectic. The doctrine is oppressor-oppressed. And they believe, therefore, in a world inhabited by oppressor groups and victim groups. And therefore, they are not socialist Marxists. They're just fair-minded Democrats. They do not believe in a higher authority. They do not believe in God. They believe only in themselves as the only authority. And so they're at war with the realities of the time. To them, the white heterosexual male is the most dangerous oppressor group on the planet. That is how they see the world. That is the world through the eyes of the Marxist-Leninists in America. Yes? No? Maybe? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Jimmy in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You're right about the Marxist-Leninists. You know, for the American people, we should see now, we have a Marxist in the White House, pictures of Mao in the White House Christmas tree, Ted Kennedy, the traitor, buried at Arlington Cemetery with our heroes. They have to start asking the question, how did we get here? Well, we got here because there's a highly organized, well-funded, well-trained world communist movement that's extremely strong in America. So people have to start seeing that this is part of a larger movement and that the so-called conservatives, whether talk radio, newspapers, whatever, missed the whole thing. None of them were warned about this stuff. And I know that for a fact because I've been trying my best. I know you've been doing since you've been on the radio. So there's a lot of people here who missed the revolution, and now they're all over the place screaming about communism in America.
Jimmy, my lad, you've been saying things like this on my show for well over 10 years, and you know what? In the beginning, people may have thought you were a crackpot, but now I don't think that they're thinking you're such a crackpot.
Well, other people told me, even people who were my friends told me, don't use the C word. Say something. I was trying to wake people up with the hard truth. It's like smacking somebody in the face to wake them up out of their...
Let's say we both agree that he's a socialist, okay? Let's talk about the varieties thereof. In your heart of hearts, on the scale of socialism, where do you think Obama fits?
I think he's totally a socialist. I think it's...
No, I know that, but I mean, what variety of socialist? Fabian socialist? What variety of socialist is he?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, but all communists, to be effective, have to hide what their end goal is.
I understand that, but have you heard my shows this week about the Frankfurt School and Herbert Marcuse?
You know, I've heard some of it, but not all of it. I was too busy.
You see, you snuck out of class, Jimmy. So you have to leave it to the teacher from now on. Here's a little story for those of you who want to know how socialism works. One of the principles of socialism established by the Frankfurt School is to turn prisoners into victims and to turn the society into the oppressor. Here's a story that I just posted. Confessed child killer hangs out at public park, from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Gary Kirpan confessed years ago to snatching a 12-year-old girl, raping her, stabbing her, and killing her. Now he hangs out in Fort Lauderdale's Stranahan Park. Now, why should this killer be walking the earth? Why wasn't he executed within a year? Answer, liberalism. How was he protected by a system while the girl was raped, stabbed, and murdered? Answer, liberalism. How come he's allowed to sit in a park while the girl is buried 6 feet under? Answer, liberal laws. He's now one of Fort Lauderdale's homeless. And here he is. Most of the homeless are addicts, mentally ill, or in economic crisis, but some are outright criminals like Kirpan. Why is he in the park? How did he get out there? How did he get out in the streets? What lawyer got him out of there? The man came back from Vietnam, and his public defender said he was just a shadow of his former self. 12-year-old Lisa Slusser was in the woods near her home when she disappeared. Kirpan was 20, was married, and with a son. 2 days later, after intensive manhunt, Lisa's broken body was found along a riverbed. Stabbed 19 times, head bludgeoned, sexually assaulted. 14 years later, Kirpan was arrested.
Savage.
All right, so it's snowing in the east. People may be listening to this show. They want to hear a little bit about the so-called health care debate when there was no discussion of health care. It was all about stealing the insurance industry for the Dem cronies. And we've talked about it. And before the break on the Savage Nation, I talked about a story that just popped up from Fort Lauderdale. Here's a homeless guy living in the park, nice and warm down there. The libs give him free food in the afternoon in the park. The families are afraid to go in the park at Fort Lauderdale because the bums are there, the homeless bums, many of whom are violent criminals. So this is a guy who murdered a 12-year-old girl years ago. He was a 27-year-old, and he took this 12-year-old girl off the street and stabbed her, raped her, threw her in a riverbed. 14 years later, he comes in and confesses. But he's offered a plea deal by the lawyers. 30-year sentence. The lawyer says that his mental illness and his Vietnam trauma made him a paranoid schizophrenic. And he was given a 30-year sentence, and he only served 15. His mother says it was a false confession. His mother says that it was false. So he serves half the time, and he's out in 15 years. That's for raping, stabbing a 12-year-old girl. Instead of giving him one appeal and then executing him the way it was in my day in New York, I'm going to lay it on the line, 1950s. Fairly safe in America. My mother was able to walk up the street in the dark to get bread at night. The murderer, the rapist, the cops would catch him, beat him up a little bit till he confessed, because usually that's how they got the confession. There was no such thing as, babying the murderer. They knew how to keep him in line. Gave him a good beating with a truncheon. And then the guy confessed. They gave him a little trial. They gave him one appeal. And they gave him a little fry job up at the Sing Sing. A little electric chair. So consequently, your grandmother could go out for groceries to Gristini's at 11 o'clock at night and not get raped. Or beaten up or thrown in the gutter and a purse snatched by some drug addict. And consequently now, as a result of liberalism, 40 years of the Great Society, we have a great society where your grandmother's afraid to go out of the house. And the drug addict now runs the streets. The bunco artist now runs the courts, etc. So now this bum is on the streets in Fort Lauderdale. The libs go and give him sandwiches in the park. And the park's full of addicts, ex-criminals, and the people in Fort Lauderdale will not go in the park themselves. And that's all because of what liberalism brought about inside the system. Now, the police chief and the mayor doesn't want them there. Officers have been on the lookout for this killer since the police chief read about him Monday on the Sun Sentinel site. They want to make contact. But listen to this. The liberal laws of the city make the cops powerless to prevent sex offenders from spending the afternoon in a park. He can't live near a daycare center or park, but he can spend the day there. Do you hear this? Miami-Dade County has a law banning registered sex offenders from entering parks, said lobbyist Ron Book, an advocate on the issue. Advocate, you know what that means, don't you? The county also has a law banning sex offenders from loitering within 300 feet of blah, 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 blah. So in other words, the police know who he is. Residents know who he is now, but they can't do anything. They're powerless. And that's why I say, my friends, liberalism is a mental disorder. Wherever you turn, I don't care what aspect of society, if something is wrong, and you say, well, how could this happen? How could we live in a world like this? Why is this happening? If you analyze it and there's no answer for it, it's like irrational how this is. The answer is liberalism is a mental disorder, because only the disordered mind of the liberal could permit a thing like this to have evolved. Now let's go back to the healthcare debate today. A, they're not talking about health. B, they're not talking about care. All they're talking about is stealing the health insurance industry from private insurers and giving it to the cronies of the Democrat Party. So if you don't understand it's a power grab, there's no way to explain to you what it is. That's all. Now let's take some callers. Andre San Fran, 860. Go ahead, please.
Mike, just a couple of things. I came to the United States with my parents when I was about 13, but I can remember a few things even at that age. I remember one time fell off on my bike, ripped my chin open, so the ambulance had to come and get me. However, at that time, you know, people wanted to make extra money. So we, you know, on the way to the hospital, randomly picked up a few guys, you know, took extra, 20 minutes or so to drop them off wherever they needed.
So wait a minute. You're saying in the ex-Soviet Union, the ambulance drivers were sort of a livery on the way to the hospital?
Oh, absolutely, because...
So you're in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and the driver uses it as a sort of private taxi to make some extra money?
Yeah, and everyone knew about it. So one time, you know, my father, you know, God, thank him for that. You know, we were being late somewhere, and, you know, he did what everyone else did. He, you know, hitchhiked, you know, and here comes an ambulance, and here, you know, 5 rubles later, we're there. Otherwise, you know, they have to wait for a bus for a half an hour.
Yeah, so, in other words, you paid 5 rubles to an ambulance speeding by with a patient in it, and you were a passenger?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's very efficient. You ought to pass that on to Obama's commission on how to make the maximum use of ambulances that the government owns. They probably haven't thought about it. Just think about it. They can move the homeless around from feeding shelters to a sex education shelters on the way to taking a person in for an auto accident for some treatment. Just think about it. That's very efficient. That's central planning, Andre.
If we had an hour, I could tell you stories, even in my young age, of what went on there. Oh, my God. I mean, my mother could tell you horror stories of giving birth there. I mean, imagine a room of 30 beds lined up and, you know, the nurse going from one bed telling the mother, shut up, stop screaming. I mean, that was two nurses for like 30 women, and that was it. And it was just in a row, basically.
Horrible.
Here you go, pop one, pop another, that's it.
Andre, you came here when you were 14 from the Soviet Union. You're listening to me in San Francisco, where there's a large Russian community. I happen to know that the Russian emigre community listens to the show in great numbers, disproportionate to their population. How did you find me on the station in San Francisco, the 860?
Mike, to be honest with you, I went to Berkeley. Okay, I was I don't want to say typical Berkeley graduate with a sort of liberal angle. My dad was listening to you. He told me about it. The first few weeks that I listened to you, I was like, this guy is a nutcase. And after that, I swear to God, I had like a miracle. My eyes opened up, and for the next 10 years, I'm 30 now, I've been listening to you day in, day out. I went to your Concord Pavilion event with my father-in-law. I mean, we sit around the table, at the dinner table, my family, my in-laws, and we discuss your shows. We discuss what was, you know.
That's really beautiful. But, Andre, how did you find on the new station in San Francisco where I only started February 1? How did you find me?
A lot of my friends also listen to you. And so one of them just sent me a link saying, hey, because last time, you know, before when you were in Sacramento.
But now it's really great. Look, I'm going to send you a gift for the next Russian holiday. I'm sending you a copy of Banned in Britain. That's something every Russian should really appreciate. When a nation bans a man for speaking his mind, that's really a democracy, isn't it? That's real democracy. Thank you, Andre. It's a great world out there. It's a great, great world. It really is a phenomenal world. And it really does take people who've lived through oppression or an oppressive society to understand what I'm saying. Honest to God, if you're a child who grew up in America who doesn't really know A from B and you never had privation, it's not like I've suffered. I was never sent to the gulag. After all, it's early in Obama's administration. The fact is that you can't really understand what I'm saying. You know, you could take me for what I'm not. You can believe the propaganda that they put out on me on the internet. Or you can say, wait a minute, if the guy is so wrong, how could he have so many listeners? How could he have written so many bestsellers? How could he have a website that's so popular? It can't be that everyone who listens to him is a nut or a right-wing maniac. Maybe I have common sense and you don't understand what common sense is. Is that possible that you're brainwashed? Is it possible that you don't know reality? Is it possible that I'm a national treasure, not some street thug, cop-hating, a communist bum? Is it possible? I need a break right now. No. I don't mean break from the show. I'm just getting warmed up again. I want to have some music right now. What can we play for the listeners? We have to soothe them because they've heard enough of this already today. While you're picking a song, let's go. Oh, turn that off. That's so not right. Sorry, not my mood. I don't know what I'm in the mood for. I got a Obama campaign on focuses on talk radio. It's up on michaelsavage.com, the talking points. Newsweek's cover is on the left side, Al Gore in hiding. I guess they've been listening to my show. They say we've not seen or heard much of the former vice president, Oscar winner, Nobel Prize recipient recently as the case for disastrous man-made climate change collapses. Even Newsweek is saying the case has collapsed, but it hasn't yet reached the outhouse, the White House. with World Watching Health Summit, Dems sneak in bill to punish CIA. Obama's healthcare infomercial. Studies, belief in God relieves depression. Where'd that come from? Belief in God relieves depression. University of Toronto psychologists reported their research showed distinct brain differences between believers and non-believers. All right, what can you do? To each his own. You should only enjoy as long as you enjoy yourself. Woman tries to sell illegal alien name off her dead son. Killer whale killed trainer after ponytail swung in face. Have you ever seen how they train those killer whales? You take an animal this size that is a pure predator, and you train it with stun guns. They use stun guns, whistles. They yell at them. I mean, to me, I'd ban the whole thing. Leave them alone already. Put them back in the sea. Put them back in the Bering Sea and leave them alone. Here's a frightening story. Cops, lingerie model runs one of world's largest drug gangs. That's horrible. Fatal shooting of chimp haunts cop. Oh, well, okay. Some of these stories you have to read. They don't play on the radio. Here's one that caught my eye. China extends position as world's leading food producer. That one really scared me. China extended its position as the world's leading food producer in 28 when its ag production jumped 30% measured by value, World Trade Organization data show. Now, it's a bit of propaganda to scare you about China, I admit. But, you know, when I read that China is becoming the world's leading food producer, despite its population being three times larger, it makes me worry a little bit. Are we going to reach a point where America starts to lose its capacity as a food exporter because of, let's start with the list, government regulation, onerous bureaucracy, the overuse of certain chemicals which actually destroy the croplands, agribusiness which takes away the diversity of agriculture? Do you realize that we could wind up with a diminished crop? When you go to monoagriculture, well, okay, this is a whole story for another time. Sorry for bringing in some of my scientific background. I didn't mean to upset you. Let's stick to the basics, the A's and the B's. Let's go back to something more interesting. I think I'll make another analogy. Let's put it to you this way. Cars. Let's go to cars. Free market versus a socialist system. The Soviet Union, does it still to this day produce a car that's of any value? Well, you don't drive it, do you? Let's go back to the age of the Yugo out of Yugoslavia. Remember that car, the laughing stock, the Yugo? Now, the reason that America has produced so many wonderful, incredible machines is because, in my opinion, of the free market. What is the free market? What does it mean? To a man like Obama, it's hard to explain the free market because he's never functioned in it. Nobody has seen his grades. Nobody knows who paid for his college education. Nobody knows a lot of things about this shadowy president, by the way. But we do know this. He's never held a real job. He went to law school. He was a college instructor. Then he was a community organizer, which is a fancy way of saying sort of a street communist. That's what community organization means. I mean, let's not mince words. Now, what the free market means is a young man or a young woman has an idea for a business. They see a vacant store open up in a mall. And they say, I'm going to risk my life savings. I'm going to go to my uncle, my father, and I'm going to, I don't know, I have an idea. I'm going to open a bagel shop, even because there's no bagel shops here. Or they come up with a new line of stuff that they have developed themselves. And they have to borrow from everybody they know. And they have to take a chance, maybe mortgaging their house. And they put it into that business. If the business starts to take off, then their problems just start to begin. Then they have to borrow more money to make more product, and that's how it works. It's very hard to be an entrepreneur. It's much easier to take a job for the government where there's virtually no risk, where all you do is spend the rest of your life trying to screw the other person inside the bureaucracy like most college professors do. Most universities are mini Marxist dictatorships, and they'd spend most of the time. Anyone who knows the system knows that academia is filled with the most bitter, backbiting people on earth. And so are bureaucracies. By and large, they do nothing. By and large, they shuffle papers. They do not produce a product. They do not produce a product. They do not manufacture a product. They don't market a product. They know nothing about business. Everyone listening to this show knows what I'm talking about if they've ever tried to start a business on their own. How can you keep attacking corporations and business when that's the essence of the wealth of this nation? I'll be right back.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
This song goes out to my listeners on the East Coast. 4 inches of snow in New York City.
Through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go.
A more of snow and high winds from southeastern PA into Jersey. New England. If you're a kid, you love this kind of thing. Dad stays home. Mom stays home. You get to look out the window. The garbage trucks go by with the plows. All right, they got the joke already. You could stop already with the thing. You know, when I say jingle bells, it means for 2 seconds. You play it too long already, it starts to sound like amateur radio. No, that's okay, and that's fine. I don't mind having the show destroyed like that. That's fine. So, 55 miles an hour or more winds. It's just weather. It's called a big winter storm, 1947. I mean, I heard there was one. I was a baby. They come in cycles. What's wrong with people? How they become so stupid that everything is a news story? It's February. Remember the old adage, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb? Typically, March even came in with a storm. We used to pray for them when I was a kid, so there'd be no school. We wanted a snow day. And there was winter, February, early March. Everyone knows that except Al Gore and Barack Obama and NBC. And the corrupt scientists who faked the data, who should be in the slammer, by the way. Not raining out. Out here, there's nothing. See, I can tell you what weather you're going to have on the East Coast if you just listen to the show. Because 3 days later, what I have, you're going to have. Even if I get indigestion, you're going to have it 3 days later. I told you. Didn't I tell you 3-4 days ago? I swear, Bailiff. Didn't I say it to the show? We're getting hit with horrible rain. You're going to get hit with a storm in 3 days. I did. I said it to the audience. I'm a genius. This is the way it works. Just look at the way the earth spins and which way the prevailing currents of the air are and what you're going to get. It comes out on the West Coast. It comes to the West Coast first. Everybody knows that, but Al Gore. Al Gore created a whole new world of weather forecasting that only he can see. Only he understands weather forecasting, him and the scientists at East Anglia University. Who ever heard of East Anglia University? It would take a crackpot university like that to come up with global warming to begin with. East Anglia University. Who would go there? That's worse than Passaic, you know, community college, majoring in hotel management. So snowstorms on the east, nothing on the west. There's nothing to report. Everyone is bored to death from the zombie Stalinist show trial today that Obama tried to pull off. It's over. Thank God it's over. I dreaded today. I was going to call in sick myself. I almost wanted a snow day, but I knew it was too important. I knew I didn't want to talk about it, but I got through it because you know what? I know a little bit about the subject. And the bottom line is this. It is a broken system, but what system in America is not broken? And what broken system has gotten fixed by a government? Can you name one? Can you name one broken system that was in the hands of the private industry that got better when the government took it over? I can't think of one, okay? That's number one. You want to fix the healthcare system? I'll give you two simple things to talk about tonight over the dinner table. Are you ready? One, cap medical malpractice lawsuits at $250,000 maximum. It's been done in California and Texas. Number two, ban healthcare for all illegal aliens. You do those two things, you're saving almost $1 trillion a year. Neither Republicans nor Democrats discussed care for illegal aliens or reining in the greedy vulture tort lawyers. So you got to understand the fix is in. When both parties agree, Mike Savage says, you know who's getting screwed. You, the taxpayer. Today they agreed. You're getting screwed. You're the taxpayer.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back. Well, as you well know, the Obama campaign, maybe you don't know this, is now sending out armies of propagandists to call talk radio shows. The DNC, the Democrat so-called National Committee, has launched an initiative aimed at making Obama supporters' voices heard on the conservative airwaves. So they sent them a tool and told them how to call radio shows with the phone-in numbers for the stations and told them that when health care comes up, be sure to call the talk show and give Obama's socialist positions. It also gives the callers tips on how to speak on radio and talking points on the issue. Now, if that's not government control of the media, I'd like to know what is. I've never heard of this, by the way. Supporters, meaning listeners, and then encouraged to report back on their encounters. This is right out of Chavez's South America.
It's like an army of zombie callers.
Can you believe? I can't wait for them today and tomorrow. Can you? Well, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Doug will have some fun. I bet we'll get a couple of them on the air.
Why don't we create a soundbite for the tomorrow for the show, guys? That's where when we know it's an Obama caller, we bong a bell or something.
I'll get something together. That'll be fun.
You know, like it's a gong show. We can do the gong show, whatever they call.
Excellent.
So Obama's in so much trouble, he needs to control the debate on talk radio now, the last area he has no control over. You know, I watched these debates today, and so did my entire team, and there was no discussion of immigration. Not one mention to stop the growth of the medically uninsured and controlled costs. Not one mention of the 30 million illegal aliens in this country who are sucking the medical system dry. Once again, none of the Republicans that we know of, none of the Democrats for sure, mentioned stopping health care for illegal immigrants. So it just shows you truthfully that both parties are in on the same game. We the people are going to suffer. They also didn't talk about reining in lawyers except in passing. Is that correct, Beowulf?
That's correct. I one or two times they mentioned it, but that's out of six
right,
hours.
Right, but if you want to cut costs by $500 billion, by what I've read, you stop the unnecessary lawsuits. You cap lawsuits at $250,000 no matter what happens to a person. California's lived with that since the 70s. Did you know that? That we have caps on medical lawsuits at $250,000, and somehow people are not screaming and dying in the streets. So the reason Obama won't talk about it, the reason the Republicans won't talk about reining in the lawyers and the lawsuits is because they're probably being paid off by the same side, which is the American Trial Lawyers Association. It's the same with why they will not talk about the medically uninsured illegal immigrants. You know why, and I know why, because they're getting donations from La Raza, no doubt, and the other pressure groups for the illegal aliens, right?
That's about the size of it. If it's good enough for California, the caps, why isn't it good enough for Obama?
The president acknowledged the impact of illegal immigration on health care in America. Early on in the debate, the White House cited 47 million people in the U.S. who lack health insurance. More recently, they've been talking about 30 million Americans who do not have coverage, right? Now, the question is, how about our immigration policies, which are making the medical situation much worse, the insurance thing impossible? And so during this health care debate, I believe that we absolutely have to halt the growth of the medically uninsured to control costs. And I agree with the Federation of American Immigration Reform to reduce overall levels of government-mandated immigration, number one. Enforce the laws against illegal immigration, number two. Eliminate family chain migration, number three, because that admits huge numbers of illegals without regard to their ability to succeed economically in the U.S. and to cover the cost of their own health needs. We can't afford it. Did you know that nearly one quarter of non-citizens in the U.S. live below the poverty level? Here's what else we recommend. Maintain the five-year waiting period for illegal immigrants before they're eligible for taxpayer-subsidized health insurance. You hear? Did you hear that? Well, is that good or bad? Instead, I think sponsors should be required to cover the cost of health insurance if immigrants cannot afford it during their first 5 years in the country. In other words, let those who are bringing them in pay for it. Let La Raza pay for it. Let MALDEF pay for it. Let the unions pay for it since they love them so much. Next, we want to bar illegal aliens from accessing the proposed health care exchange. Did you know that under this plan, there would be subsidies for individuals and families with up to 400% of poverty level income? That would include every illegal alien in the United States. According to CBO estimates, allowing illegal aliens to participate in the exchange would increase taxpayer liability from $12 billion a year today to, guess what, Beowulf, $40 billion by the end of the decade.
That's amazing.
So, in other words, they're not dealing with real health care reform. It's all a lie. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they had had Congressman Culberson or someone in there who's strong on this issue to actually discuss it instead of shutting out all the people who have anything to say about it.
A medical marijuana stoner. Read the story from San Diego. A medical marijuana stoner took two brownies and got crazy on an airplane, forced the flight to divert. He was high in medical marijuana, so-called. You know what that is today. Medical marijuana. You schmucks. You schmucks will buy anything under the term medical. Lucky for him, he messed with the wrong flight attendant. He messed with Lauren Gorman, 51-year-old woman, a black belt in Taekwondo, who chokehold, gave him a nice chokehold. You see, Kinmon Chan, age 30, was getting a little crazy at the airplane. A flight attendant Gorman says she noticed the passenger, Mr. Chan, early in the flight. He was looking at me, waving hi, said the flight attendant, about the man in seat 17C. But soon enough, the passenger became aggressive. He's banging around, screaming in the back bathroom. He's opened all the compartments, the attendant remembers. According to a criminal complaint, Chan walked out of the bathroom with his pants down. Now, in Nancy Pelosi's city of San Francisco, that's normal attire. You can walk with your pants down. You can whip each other on a flying cart, because that's all family values to Nancy Pelosi. But he walked out of a bathroom on an airplane with his pants down. That was not acceptable to the flight attendant. She said, "I need you to sit down now." He did not. He went like that with his elbow, Gorman said, bracing her wrist as she drew through an elbow at shoulder. I don't know what that means. I guess he threw a fake karate chop. So she said, "Well, what I did, I just put him in an arm lock. To get his other arm, I had to jump up on the seat. He was resisting. He was stiff. At that point, I just put him in a chokehold." Plane diverted to Pittsburgh, where Chan was arrested. What was his excuse? He told police he'd taken a double dose of medical marijuana, eating two pot cookies before the flight. Isn't that amazing? So now they can use medical marijuana as an excuse for doing anything on an airplane. I guess if Hezbollah is released in America, if some of our radical Islamic writers in the sky choose to disrupt the flight and don't actually set their crotches on fire and burn the plane down to the ground by blowing up the gas tank, and if they're caught by the FBI, they could all say they were on medical marijuana and they just took too high a dose of their medicine. All thanks to you liberals. You were so much holier than everyone else. How many phony Prius drivers are there in America with the superior virtue of the oppressed, riding around with the Obama-Biden stickers, posters a year later? You know, I travel to other states and never see an Obama-Biden poster. But you come back to San Francisco, Marin County, they're all over the place. That's the equivalent of the Communist Party membership back in the good old days of the USSR. And if you weren't a member of the party, well, you were just out. You were not PC. That's where the words PC come from. A superior car in every way, and you didn't. Well, fellas from Tokyo would have you believe.
Savage.
It seems that only recently has the Obama administration even begun to admit the danger we're in from Islamic terrorists, even though they still will not even mention the threat of radical Islam except in passing. Joining us today to talk about this is the author of They Must Be Stopped, Brigitte Gabriel.
Thanks, Michael. Last week, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano announced that homegrown terrorism is now a bigger threat to the United States as international terrorists. Well, Janet, better late than never. I've been saying this for months. The organization I head up, Act for America, has been saying this for months. You, Michael, have been saying this for months. We've been telling anyone who is willing to listen that the threat of radical Islam to America goes far beyond Al-Qaeda. We've been shouting from the rooftops that it's the Islamic doctrine of jihad that is the force behind the increased homegrown terrorism. And everywhere I look, I see evidence that more and more Americans are beginning to get it. They don't want civilian trials for foreign terrorists like Khalil Sheikh Mohammed. They're sick and tired of the kind of political correctness that gave us the whitewash the Pentagon called a report on the Fort Hood jihadist massacre. They want airline security that won't waste time frisking 80-year-old ladies while terrorists like the underwear bomber get through. More and more, we hear and read news stories about Muslims in America who have become, quote, radicalized. But very few in the media, government, the Defense Department, or our intelligence agencies answer this question. What is radicalizing these Muslims? Shouldn't this be a question our leaders should be answering? After all, if we have an answer to the question, we can at least develop a strategy to fight back.
Why are they not asking the question?
The problem is, I'm convinced that many of our leaders don't want the answer because deep down they suspect what it is, but don't want to go there. You see, what is radicalizing these Muslims is the same doctrine that has radicalized Muslims for 14 centuries, that has led to some 270 million people murdered and tens of millions more enslaved. Michael, as you know, it's jihad, plain and simple. Every homegrown terrorist who has been arrested in the past year has either had materials promoting jihad or has acknowledged answering the call to jihad. Just look at Nidal Hassan's business card. It says SOA, Soldier of Allah. You can't get any more jihadi than that. And where do we find this call to jihad? We find it in the same book Congressman Keith Ellison swore his oath of office on, Islam's holy book, the Quran and the Hadith. Watching government officials twist themselves into pretzels trying to explain why Islamic terrorists commit terrorism would be laughable if it weren't so frightening. As a sterling example, the Pentagon's so-called report on the Fort Hood massacre only mentioned Islam once in its 86 pages. And that was in a footnote. A footnote!
This is unbelievable to me.
This is nothing short of being incredulous. Even more incredulous is Janitor Casey's audacity to say that as much as the Fort Hood massacre was a tragedy, it would be an even greater tragedy if the murders hurt the military's commitment to diversity. Folks, I cannot imagine losing a son or a daughter in such a senseless and entirely preventable atrocity for the sake of diversity. How in the world do our leaders expect to subdue and defeat the threat of Islamic terrorism when they are so shackled by political correctness they are afraid to define what is motivating that foe? Ms. Napolitano also told governors at their annual conference that the problem of domestic extremism needs to be drilled down and analyzed. Nonsense! Anyone willing to begin with an open mind, spend a few hours studying Islamic history, pursuing the exhortations to jihad in Islam's holy books, and reading the proclamations and calls to jihad by leading Muslim clerics throughout the world, will be able to identify the root of the problem. In my book, They Must Be Stopped, I have a chapter titled, Purists Drink Their Islam Straight. I quote Quranic scriptures that suicide bombers and terrorists use to incite themselves to kill or shoot out just before they blow themselves up to kill infidels. These verses are straight from the mouth of Prophet Muhammad. The simplest one is Allahu Akbar. Just as Americans are beginning to rise up against out-of-control government spending, we need to rise up against the cancer of political correctness that is enabling the march of radical Islam and the multiple forms of jihad arrayed against us. This is why I founded Act for America back in 2007. I knew what we were up against, and I knew it would take an organized grassroots movement of concerned citizens to make our government officials see the light behind this threat. We are now the largest national security grassroots movement in America, with 80,000 members strong and 370 local chapters nationwide, and with a full-time lobbyist on Capitol Hill representing each ACT member. I appeal to each and every one of you listening to me now to join us. If you are frustrated by how our government is handling the rise of terrorism in America, join me and thousands of others and become empowered. Our motto is, if our elected officials are not going to see the light, we are going to make them feel the heat. ACT educates and then activates people just like you. You can make a difference. It's easy. Go to actforamerica.org. Find an ACT chapter near you. Sign up for our free emails and action alerts. We are building the NRA of national security. You are not alone in the fight we all face. We must come together as patriotic Americans and with one voice send a roar to Washington, D.C., our state capitals, even our local government officials, a roar that says no more Fort Hoods, no more giving constitutional rights to foreign terrorists. It's time to throw political correctness in the garbage where it belongs. It's time to recognize the threat and act decisively against it because our enemies are not going to stop. Michael, we just found out that covert agents employed by Government Accountability Office easily penetrated our borders with fake identification. Their frightening conclusion for all Americans is that foreign terrorists can easily smuggle radioactive materials across our border.
Oh my God.
What will it take for others in government who are shackled by political correctness to tear off chains and recognize the truth about the radicalizing power within Islam? How many Fort Hoods have to happen? How many more panty bombers are out there? What will they say to us if Islamic terrorists detonate a dirty radiological bomb in a major city? Let your voice be heard. Visit actforamerica.org. Sign up for our free emails and action alerts and get plugged into the largest grassroots movement fighting Islamic Jihad in America.
Well, thanks for the report, Brigitte.
Michael, thank you for being on the front lines and preserving our country.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
A while ago on the show, I talked about a commentary by Charles Hurt of the New York Post entitled "Prez's New Idea, Simply Outlaw Reality." It seems appropriate given the healthcare summit today. Charles Hurt joins us now to talk about it. Welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Well, what did you mean by outlawing reality?
Michael, for months, even years now, we've been listening to President Obama go on and on about how both his health care proposal that he announced the other day, as well as the Democratic ones that have been sort of floating around and causing so much trouble this past year, would cut costs. Cut the costs of medical care in this country, as well as, and very specifically, cutting the premiums that we pay to our health insurers to cover us, and that includes the amount of money that our employers take out of our paycheck, essentially, in order to pay for our health insurance. It's part of our benefits. You know, he's been insisting all along that. These premiums would go down under their plans, and specifically under his plan that he just announced, put up online this week. But there's something, another strange little part of that that came out that seems to really put a lie to all of it, and that is that he has included in his plan a new law that would essentially would outlaw premium increases that are deemed unreasonable or unjustified.
Well, how does that work?
Meaning that nothing in their plan is going to lower them. If anything, there's every likelihood that they're going to rise. And therefore, we need a companion law that goes along with it that will, prevent those increases from happening. And to me, it's just an astonishing admission that not only are they not only does he know full well that his plan is not going to lower premiums, but it's also it's downright kind of dishonest. He said during his campaign that insurance that his plans that he would lower health insurance premiums by something like $2,500 per year for every family. And so, obviously, if that's the case, then you certainly wouldn't need a law that would prevent the premiums from going up. The other aspect of all this, and this to me is actually even more troubling, is the fact that it reveals President Obama's approach to this reveals sort of the oldest style liberalism, the idea that a law, that just passing a law, is going to actually solve the problem. And more and more we're seeing that from this administration, from Democrats, that is their belief. You know, and it extends from, you know, whether it's hate crimes legislation or some of these sort of egregious nanny state laws that they come up with. It's all this idea that somehow, you know, America is a giant classroom and we're all sitting around looking up at Washington waiting to be told how to behave. And so, you know, the idea that he's going to just outlaw premium increases is about on par with trying to outlaw reality.
Well, other than talk radio and a select few newspapers across the nation, where is the media outcry over this insanity?
You know, Michael, the mainstream media, they know better. This is good for you, and you just don't realize it. The mainstream media, I think, is 100%, it is mind-boggling to them when they go on their, you know, ski vacations in the Swiss Alps. They can't understand why, when they're sitting around having their little, you know, cocktails around the chalet fire, why it is that they can't talk about their country having socialized medicine. And it's embarrassing to them. They don't get it, and they don't understand it. I have never seen us, being the media, more in the tank for Democrats on any particular issue quite the way. I guess maybe there's some gun control laws that they're probably even more in the tank on. But this gives a whole new meaning to liberal media being sort of in the tank on something. The concept that, and it's funny because the skepticism that you hear from smart people about inserting government more into our healthcare system, it's the most basic stuff in the world. It's like, well, look at Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. All three of these are teetering on the brink of collapse. What makes you think that the government is going to be able to carry out a whole new huge social program?
Exactly.
That's a healthy amount of skepticism. It's certainly why I got into the news business, is because I walk around with a healthy dose of skepticism no matter who's talking. But I don't hear that at all from my colleagues in the media. All of the questions that they have are things like, well, why isn't there a public option in President Obama's latest health care plan? Well, my question is, why would there be? Or, you know, why was it in there in the first place when the government has proved itself incapable of responsibly running any large, program like this? And let's also not forget that when you look at the amount of the degree to which the federal government is already deeply involved in America's healthcare system, you know, in terms of setting prices through Medicare and, their entire reimbursement scheme basically sets up the entire market that is American healthcare in terms of, you know, distributing healthcare. And there is no evidence that anything they have ever done has done anything to lower prices or spur innovation. And so now we're going to just sit back and act like we're going to trust the government to suddenly do all this exactly right. It defies logic to me, but apparently not to these my colleagues, who I guess are a whole lot smarter than you and me.
Polls show that only 25% of the people support this health care reform. How can the government and the media both ignore what the people want?
It is the most astonishing thing I have ever witnessed, to see the visceral public reaction against all of this, and the absolute insistence on the part of the government and specifically Democrats to push this thing through. I've come to believe that Democrats realize that this is their Waterloo. If they don't, you know, this is their one chance. Every day from here on out, it becomes less and less likely that they will be able to get through their big grand scheme, which is what they, you know, this is the thing that they wanted forever, and will sort of enlarge government to a whole new level, you know, for good. And it'll be nearly impossible to roll it back, which is what they want. And so if we don't. So I think that they're thinking if they don't get it done now, if they don't get it done in the next couple of weeks, then they'll probably never, ever get another opportunity, not even, you know, decades down the road at the rate the public is turning against them. And, of course, what we're also seeing this week, and we began to see it with Robert Gibbs talking at the White House the other day, where he started talking about all the times that you know, votes have been carried through the Senate on a 51-vote margin, meaning, you know, basically going around the filibuster rules. Well, that was a clear indication to me that the White House is sending every signal that they can, that they intend to pass this, even if they have to pass it on 51 votes. And I think that they have no idea what will happen to them and Democrats if they do that. I think they will get punished so severely that in the course of the next few years that they will, even if they do succeed in passing some sort of health care legislation, that they will soon regret having done it. Because, you know, Republicans were faced with this option, you know, a few years back, 5 years ago, and they wisely, I think, decided not to do it because it would basically take away from them their right to block the majority when they were put into the minority, and I'm sure obviously they're very grateful that they preserved the filibuster today.
Charles Hurt, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Michael. It's always a pleasure.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, here's some of the stories that are on michaelsavage.com. I'm no socialist, Obama tells the CEOs. You hear this? He went before business leaders yesterday, and he said, I'm no socialist. I'm not plotting a government takeover of the economy as he plotted a government takeover of the economy. We all know that he is, in fact, not a socialist. He's telling the truth. He's actually a Marxist-Leninist. It's amazing to me how liberals see the world through their Marx-colored glasses, and they support every socialist-communist regime on the planet, right? And yet refuse to use the socialist word when it comes to admitting that their own personal sympathies and goals are being met through Obama and his minions. This must be the Frankfurt School at work.
That's it.
Finally, Janet Napolitano, some call her affectionately other names, the head of Homeland Security, says that violent Islamic extremism is a daily focus. I find that hard to believe. Homeland Insecurity Secretary Janet Napolitano told the Senate panel today that the threat from violent Islamic extremists is openly discussed every day. I guess that's along with talk radio and returning veterans and along with abortion protesters. Yeah, I don't know how she got elected governor, number one. How did she make it through a debate, number two? How did she wind up as Homeland Security Secretary, number three? I think they chose her because she's easily manipulated by the administration, right?
Yeah, she fulfills a need in the Obama administration. We'll put it that way.
General Motors to discontinue Hummer after sale to China has fallen apart. GM will wind down its Hummer SUV line after failing to complete a deal to sell a brand. Heavy industrial machinery, the automaker said. This is another extinct automobile that I guess nobody wants anymore. Actually, we had one once. They were great when they first came out. They were wonderful cars, and you should have seen the effect they had on libs. I mean, that was the best part of the Hummer, was the effect. It actually made libs almost crimson with rage.
Sort of garlic to a vampire or something like that.
It was fabulous. It was like a cross to a vampire, the Hummer.
There you go.
Supreme Court sets aside strict ruling on Miranda right to remain silent. Huh? A crime suspect who invokes his right to remain silent under the famous Miranda decision can be questioned again after 14 days, the Supreme Court ruled. Of course, this will not apply to terrorists who will be Mirandized and never questioned again without their lawyer present. And by the way, comrades who love Obama's health care scam, there's a report out of Reuters on what's going on in hospitals in London. They found shocking care standards at a National Health Service hospital. including patients being left unwashed for up to a month, patients dying for a glass of water, having to drink it out of a flower pot. Yeah. But comrades, you too will soon have this high-quality healthcare system, and anyone who denies that the healthcare is sufficient will be considered a counter-Obama-rutionary. And as a result, if you're a counter-Obama-rutionary, you may be sent to a re-education camp where you'll be taught that snow is black.
They're readying the truncheons as we speak.
Al Gore-backed Climate Group plans wider ad buy to get this done. The Alliance for Climate Protection, what? Of course, those are the scam artists who are trying to capitalize on this scare tactic, are going to increase their TV ad buy that is going to press Senate centrists to support broad climate and energy legislation. You see that? It's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Junk food tax would help fight obesity. People have to go to michaelsavage.com for these and other stories, Beowulf. They're astounding. Here's this one. Researchers at the so-called University of Buffalo in so-called New York, led by so-called psychologist Leonard Epstein, gave 42 mothers just over $22 to spend at a supermarket set up in a room at the university, and they stocked with images of everything from bananas to whole wheat bread to cola drinks and cookies. And take a guess what they bought. I don't know, maybe Obama will put us in prison for 3 years for eating a fried fish burger, 6 years for eating a chili burger, 10 years for two beers and a pizza. That might help us make healthy choices, right? After all, liberty is about making liberty is about the government making choices for us, isn't it, Beowulf?
I think so. Maybe that junk tax would that might help Al Gore lose some weight. Who knows?
Yeah. And of course, today we've been talking all day about Obama's healthcare teaching. You have to hear some more of the ridiculous statements that were made at the healthcare summit today. You're not going to believe it. Here is President O introducing his healthcare teach-in.
Thank you so much for participating today. I am very grateful to all of you because I know how busy you are. Last year, obviously, was one of the toughest years we've had on record. And all of us, in one way or another, were devoted to focusing on breaking the back of the recession, restoring economic growth, putting people back to work. We've still got a long way to go.
And here's President O saying Dems and Repubs just have a philosophical disagreement. Yes, it's like the disagreement between communism and capitalism.
The argument that Republicans are making really isn't that this is a government takeover of healthcare, but rather that we're insuring we're regulating the insurance market too much. And that's a legitimate philosophical disagreement. We'll hopefully be able to explore it a little more in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. That's just one of those philosophies is called Marxism. Here's Harry Reid telling a sob story about a man named Jesus. Jesus, I can't believe it.
A young man by the name of Jesus Gutierrez. He had everything that he wanted, except a baby. He had health insurance. He had employees that liked him. But he was fortunate. They were going to have a baby. It was going to be a little girl. And the baby was born. And in just a few minutes after the birth of that baby, he was told that the baby had a cleft palate. But that's okay, he was told. We can take care of that. Jesus was happy until he got his mail 4 months later, opened the envelope. And the insurance company said, "We didn't realize that your baby had a pre-existing disability. We're not covering the $90,000 in hospital and doctor bills you've already run up. This shouldn't happen to anyone in America." He had health insurance. He paid his premiums.
Hey, Sousa, it's funny that no one at the summit mentioned anything about illegal immigration. It's shameful, though. At least Senator Lamar Alexander brought up junk lawsuits for 2 seconds.
Put an end to junk lawsuits against doctors. In our state and half the counties, pregnant women have to drive to the big city to have prenatal health care or to have their baby because the medical malpractice suits have driven up the insurance policies so high that doctors leave the rural counties.
Yeah, but mostly the Repubs were just going along and getting along, seeing what they can scam out of the game.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to commend you for asking us to come here. And I will say that never have so many members of the House and Senate behave so well for so long before so many television cameras. So if we ever get to a conference committee, we may want you to be the moderator.
But the worst today was CNN's coverage. They were more concerned about body language and what Obama had for lunch than socialized medicine.
The body language that he's showing is one of frustration and irritation.
He has seemed at times irritated, but he's, you know, he's given everybody, each side, a chance.
I don't know if we should read too much into that, John. He was asked, what did you have for lunch? And he said chicken. But that's a nice healthy lunch for the president, a little protein.
It's very rare that we see the president just walking the ground. Sometimes you see him in that driveway inside the complex, going from the White House to what is now the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. But you very rarely see the president leave the house and leave the gates and go out and walk on the street. And that's actually refreshing. And there are, I'm not sure what the extra security measures are today. I'm sure they're out there watching. But as you know, pedestrians can walk through there. No car traffic anymore. But pedestrians walk through there. And it's one of the things that is missed in this town, and the president himself says he misses in his life, is just normal interaction with everyday Americans.
So, you know, whatever you want to say about me, don't say one thing about me. I always go to the defense of the defenseless in this country, whether they be dogs, gorillas, elephants, or Marines, or soldiers.
Savage.